What up, what up? This is a special Saturday edition of the Rafters Podcast, episode 71. I am here with the man, Justin Trambino. What are you doing on this beautiful day, my brother?
I'm actually just hanging out on the back deck, drinking a beer, ready to talk about Mike Gorman and the Celtics and what's going on this weekend with them.
That sounds extremely lavish. I'm not as cool. I'm sitting inside enjoying a beer. But hey, after this, I will join you in the fantastic late summer weather.
But absolutely.
You brought up a great point. Today is not about us or our drinking habits midday. This is about the legend that is Mike Gorman. Today, the man, the myth, the legend is being inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame as a part of a star-studded 2001 class that includes his favorite player, Paul Pierce, which we will bring up later on the show. He is the winner of the Kurt Gowdy Award. It's basically the highest honor for any media man, like a broadcaster or a writer of sorts. Am I correct on those fronts?
Absolutely, yep.
Obviously, as Celtics fans, truly deserving. We love Mike, and that's what this whole episode is basically going to be dedicated to, is the voice of the Boston Celtics, besides, of course, the late, great Tommy Hines, and the two guys who have told us what's going to happen play-by-play through the radio on those long car rides we have when we can't watch the game. When we are watching the game, they're still there as well. I can't say enough about the guys, and I'm psyched to be on with you on this Saturday to talk about it.
I am, too. This is definitely something new for us and the podcast, and it just so happens it's Hall of Fame induction night. It's also the 20th year of September 11th and that tragedy, so we definitely remember
that.
What's
going on today?
Yeah, it's definitely a big day, and I'm definitely looking forward to getting into Mike Gorman and how he started his Hall of Fame career.
Of course. So before we get into the nitty-gritty, I got to ask, do you ever do a workout and feel like you need a massage afterwards?
Almost every week.
Well, lucky for you, you can get a massage without leaving the very spot you're in right now. Don't let pain and soreness slow you down. ExoGun revives muscles, boosts circulation, and releases energy so you can recover faster and live better. Take it wherever you need it. Work, the gym, the trail, the back porch where you are right now. Put the power of percussive massage treatment in your hands. It's portable, adjustable, and powerful. ExoGun is trusted by the pros to deliver the ultimate in recovery. Like we said before, what is percussion therapy? Percussion therapy boosts muscle function and recovery by penetrating deep into the muscle tissue with a series of rapid, concentrated, pulsating strokes. Love those pulsating strokes. Gain back control of your body and achieve long-term pain relief with ExoGun. Get 10% off with code CGS10 at checkout. Comes with a charger, a carrying case. Go get your ExoGun today and treat yourself to a massage at a moment's notice. Ad read in the books. So, I am psyched, as we talked about, to be here honoring the man that is Mike Gorman. I feel like commentators don't really get the love. It's an unsung hero of sports for the most part. But as you and me talked about before hopping on the show, it was non-negotiable that we were going to come on here and talk about Mike Gorman. In our eyes, and I would hope most Celtics fans, he's as much a part of the team as Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are, as Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett have been. He is the voice of the Boston sports, and I just want to thank Mike Gorman before we even get into all this for all the memories, all the calls, all the moments in the Celtics history that I have, and his voice is playing in the background telling me everything that's going on, and for all the got it. It's just, it honestly gives me goosebumps thinking about it. He's truly one of a kind and deserves all the honors that's coming to him later today, getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, the Naismith Hall of Fame, right?
Yes, the Naismith Hall of Fame, which I learned it's not just based off like an NBA career. It's kind of just your basketball career in a whole.
Yeah, and, so like college, great college players, great overseas players can get in as well, which is why I hope Derrick Rose gets in.
Yeah, definitely has a chance to.
But I digress. We're not talking about Derrick Rose here. Let's give a little background on the man, the myth, the legend that is Mike Gorman. So he was an aviator for the Navy from 1970 to 1975. After that, Gorman began his broadcasting career at WNBH in New Bedford, New Bedford, Massachusetts. From there, went on to WPRO in Providence, where you are right now.
Yep.
There he was the sports director at WPRI and the voice of the University of Rhode Island on WPRO, as well as television play-by-play commentator for the Providence College. Place I've been to many times, fantastic history of basketball and basketball players, going back to my boy Marshawn Lynch, or Marshawn Brooks, former Celtics legend. Love me some Marshawn Brooks. Chris Dunn, who has had a quick layover in Celtics uniform. But overall, that's just a stellar start to a career. And you told me before the show, he had never applied once for a job interview. He just kind of stumbled into all these jobs after having what is the, you know, bravest job of them all, serving for the U.S. Overseas. So,
absolutely, yeah. I heard on a podcast he was humbly saying that he...
Humbly, owed... of course.
Exactly, yep. That's Mike Gorman, if anything. And he was saying how he owes his career to just kind of being in the right place at the right time, and he's never had to apply for a job, which I thought was, you know, really intriguing, as Mike Gorman has done many, he's worked many high-end prestige jobs in this field before landing with the Celtics and even during his time with the Celtics, so to never have to apply for something like that is a true credit to him and his professionalism and his stature on the job and what he takes great pride in doing.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's hilarious. It's just kind of like, that seems like the perfect setup for somebody that's going to be great at something, you know, like they just
not really
stumble into all these jobs, but like, in a sense they do, I guess, where he's just kind of in the right place at the right time. And he ends up nailing literally all these jobs. If you go back and listen to him, he's fantastic calling all these. URI is one of the bigger schools on the East Coast. Providence College is as big of a basketball school as it gets, really, without getting into, like, you know, the Dukes, the North Carolinas, like the elite of the elite basketball. Providence College is, you know, just a slight tier below there. So he was working big time jobs.
Oh yeah, it's a big deal in this part of the Northeast, I guess. I'm from, you know, Westerly, Rhode Island, so URI is only a half hour, 45 minutes at the most away from me. So I've always been in Providence College growing up. You know, it was probably the same, honestly, probably the same distance, just a different direction. So I've always grew up and I'm accustomed to URI and just really PC always being a force in the Big East. And whether they're always, you know, involved or not, it's still a true dedication, and it's a real lifestyle for the fans and the students and the school and honestly the city.
Yeah, it really is, because like Rhode Island doesn't have, you know, a signature sports team. There's no professional Rhode Island team. There's the New England Patriots, which would cover Rhode Island.
Right. But
they have the farm team for the Red Sox. What is that, the Pawtucket
Red Sox? We used to, which I was actually disappointed, because I just moved into East Providence, which if they were still playing in Pawtucket, it would only be about a 25-minute drive, if that.
Then they moved to Worcester, right?
Yep, and then they moved to Worcester.
Which is really fucking far. In fact, the opposite side of the state in Massachusetts from you. So, like, that's a brutal drive now.
It is. Not to get into baseball, but I wish they were still in Pawtucket, but because of the tradition and everything that comes with it and McCoy Stadium and everything, but I also think it's really cool that they moved into Worcester.
Yeah, Worcester seems like it's building up with a couple different sports teams there. I know they have awesome arena football team, but I digress. We're not going to get into Worcester sports right now. Let's keep on topic.
We could in another episode, though, of a podcast.
Yeah, 100%.
Because that would be something worth talking about.
Most definitely. So there's no signature sports team in Rhode Island, so they take a lot of pride in URI and PC. I can think of you know, only a couple studs from URI. It seems like the kind of little brother when it comes to the basketball school there. They certainly haven't matched the talent or the success of PC, at least from what my knowledge anyway. I can't say I've dug deep into URI sports specifically, but I know they had Lamar Odom who went there, and I love Lamar Odom more than most of my family. And my buddy actually from the next town over played basketball for them. His name is Jared Terrell. Super good dude. But he's playing overseas now. Good luck to him. But yeah, so there's not a whole lot of, they take a lot of pride in their college football or college sports. And Mike Gorman was obviously a huge part of that growing up. So.
Absolutely. He was, especially like, you know, that's where he started his career. So, you know, hearing him out in his early years, if you were, you know, around listening to them back then, cause you know, we weren't alive.
This is way before us,
but looking back, you can definitely look it up and find it, which I've done in the past. And, you know, he still sounds just the same, no matter what he's covering, cause he's covered many different sports other than basketball. But yeah, you know, like you said about Rhode Island, they don't have a signature, you know, professional team. So they do go for, you know, they're big with their college sports. And besides URI and PC, I'm not too sure about basketball because I don't really follow them as much with basketball. But Brown University is also in Providence, and they produce some studs on the football field.
They have had some players from time to time. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I've definitely seen some around and tracked them back to Brown.
Yeah, they definitely have a good football program. And just to bring it back to what you were saying, they us in Rhode Island, we definitely cater our college teams right here in the city of Providence, really.
Yeah, of course.
And URI, which isn't too far away.
No, not at all. A quick spit down the road from there anyway. Mike Gorman, beyond just starting out in those college games, he was well-versed in plenty of other things, as we talked about before hopping on this show. He was the primary announcer for ESPN's Big Monday, which was the Big East game of the week way back in the 80s. He called the NCAA basketball tournament on CBS, did tennis in the 1992 Barcelona Summer Olympics with legendary announcer Bud Collins. Of course, he's done many NBA playoff games on TBS. Just about any Celtics playoff game I can think of in my whole life has been announced by Mike Gorman. He did handball at the 2012 Summer Olympics in London and men's basketball in the 2016 Summer Olympics, which I remember specifically. That team there was a lot of controversy. They weren't playing so well, but then, you know, it's still America, so we kind of rallied and ended up kicking some ass anyway. But there was a lot of questions at the beginning of that year. What do you think sets Mike Gorman apart from other announcers and really gives him this ability to be so well-versed in, one, different sports? He's announcing handball. Like, obviously, it's not so much his knowledge of the game of basketball. It's the excitement that he brings to me. So I would imagine when he's doing these other sports, there's got to be a certain flair that he brings to those as well. I've never watched him announce handball, but I'm sure I would get super fucking into it. What do you really like about Mike Gorman that has clearly made him such a well-versed play-by-play commentator and announcer?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you about the handball. I would love to find that game tournament. Yeah, I would love to find that and watch that because I would definitely get into that with Mike Gorman calling it.
I've never watched a game in my life, and I know.
I remember playing handball in like high school PE class, but I, you know, just watching it professionally. Yeah. I know they get really into it, but never, you know, I honestly didn't know that Mike was calling that. So. Had I known that, you know, maybe I could have attributed to some higher ratings and the views catered to Mike Gorman.
Hey, you go where the man is.
Exactly. Maybe that's why they asked him to do it. So
makes sense.
To answer your question, I think it's just honestly Mike's personality, his laid back, go with the flow. I'll get the job done. I'll do it in a way that is, you know, intriguing. He already had his own little swag and style to the game before he hooked up with Tommy and the Celtics. But when he hooked up with Tommy and the Celtics, him and Tommy, they led off each other. But before that, I think just his laid back, like I said, go with the flow personality is what really set him back or set him apart from the pack. And I think all in all, he's just a, I don't know if he's a former athlete. He may be, but I think he's just a real genuine, sport fan. Sports. It doesn't matter if you're an athlete, you know, or if it's an athletic event, you know, he's into it. If you're competing, maybe he's just a competitor. He loves competition. But I don't think it doesn't matter on the sport. And I think that's what set him apart, from the pack now and early on in his career.
Yeah, there is something to be admired for somebody who has an appreciation for games at the highest level. Like, you know, I'm somebody who, like you said, just likes competition. If the World's Strongest Man competition is on, I'm watching it. Like, I'll flick through and watch anything with competition. But there's a lot of people who will just go right by. I would imagine Mike Gorman's one of those people who sees, you know, a game that he's never ever seen before, like handball or volleyball or something. He looks at it, he goes, wow, like these people are doing that at an elite level, and he gets into the game. He just seems like that type of guy to me, where he's got the ultimate, one, confidence in himself, two, you know, talk about these games on air, and three, just like an appreciation for the game that's almost unmatched by most other people.
Oh yeah, he definitely studies his, you know, what he's doing, you know, like you said with handball. I doubt, you know, after covering, you know, mainly basketball for the last, you know, like 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
He knew much about this, you know, the rules of handball, which I think is this new, like a new trendy sport that, you know, obviously grew popularity to make it into, was it the Olympic competition or?
Yeah.
It was 2012. Yeah, 2012. So yeah, no, I just thought that, you know, that's super impressive on him. He definitely studies everything that he needs to know. He knows his facts. He does deep backgrounds into, you know, like some of the big name players on teams that, you know, he knows that are going to be coming into whoever he's, wherever he's covering. He does his background information on everything.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a true credit to him and the way he's made it work for his career.
Absolutely. Yeah, much to be admired. So then from there, let's get into his Celtics tenure. In 1981, he joined the Celtics as the broadcaster, partnered up with color commentator legend Tommy Heinsohn, and they formed one of the longest tenured broadcast tandems in all of professional sports. So that partnership lasted for 39 years, from 1981 until Tommy Heinsohn's death in November of last year. Truly, truly a devastating time. I loved me some Tommy Heinsohn, so did the city of Boston. I can't say it enough. When he passed away, it was a dark day in Boston sports history, and he will forever be missed. That duo is iconic and will live in the hearts and minds and memories of Celtics fans forever, especially us who grew up only knowing those voices so far. Now not hearing Tommy Heinsohn has been nothing short of weird. At least we still got Mike Gorman holding down the fort, and then Scal will occasionally throw in his chimes in there. But it is definitely different for sure, and I don't even want to imagine a world without Mike Gorman yet. So give me some of your favorite Mike Gorman moments, something that sticks in your craw, the iconic ones that you remember growing up.
Well, to start it off, to feed off what you had previously said, the reason Mike and Tommy work so well, and this is actually a direct quote from Mike. Mike said, Tommy did what I didn't want to do, and I did what Tommy didn't want to do. So I think that's why, you know, their relationship works so well. Mike was into, like, you know, stats and kind of like the analytical part of the game, you know, the play-by-play,
yeah,
player background. And Tommy was more into, you know, like what was going on with the game.
The
calls, as a former player, and, you know, we all love when Tommy gets angry with the referee.
Yeah.
Which happened, you know, very often. I think something about Mike that I will always remember and still obviously hear, because his days aren't done yet with the Celtics. It's honestly his, I know we mentioned it earlier, or you mentioned it earlier. It's just his signature call, the got it.
Yeah.
And I think that is amazing. And he actually got into that in a podcast that I listened to with Chris Forsberg. Forsberg asked him straight up. He goes, "Where'd you get the got it from? Where'd that come from?"
Yeah.
And he was honest, and he said, "Honestly, it came from Johnny Most, who, you know, if you're a fan of Boston sports, you know who Johnny Most is. Johnny Most was the Celtics broadcaster for, honestly, the last, really the 40 years before Gorman and Tommy took over. He had other guys in there with him, like Glenn Ordway and, you know, guys like that. But I guess this is another direct quote from Mike. He said, "Johnny Most said to me, you need a handle. You need something that people can identify you with."
Yeah.
And he came up with the got it. And then he asked Johnny how it was. And Johnny liked it. And he said, "I don't know if it's mine, if somebody's used that before, but I like it. It works for me." And Johnny Most told him to roll with it. So, you know, when I think of games, especially, you know, the iconic games like you had mentioned, you know, last second, you know, buzzer beater, just down to the wire games. And even in games that don't come down to that, just, you know, casually, he throws out the got it. And yep. It's just it's consistent. It's something, you know, like Johnny Most said, it's a handle that people can identify you with. And I'll always remember the got it's from Mike.
Oh, of course. And that's like easily my favorite handle, because I, like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm a sucker for a great play-by-play guy, color commentator. Yep. I love it. Like, I love just the idea of being able to describe what's going on in a game with your words, and you have to entertain the people listening with your voice and nothing but your voice. For those people on the radio, they're not watching it. So you need to convey the energy and the excitement of a play with your voice. So I think of, like, the great handles, the Mike Breen's bang, bang, like, stuff like that. Like, that gets me so excited. Or, oh my gosh, Eric Reed. I believe that's the Miami Heat's color commentator, who goes kaboom every time they hit a three. Where it's like, wait, it's kaboom. Like, I just,
yep,
it gets me going every time. But, like, you know, as much as I love all those, and Mike Breen is one of the best to ever do it as well, nothing gets me going like the got it. Like, oh my,
yep, God.
The signature moments. I can think of Paul Pierce hitting the shot over Al Harrington, Marcus Morris hitting that dribble sidestep three game winner to beat the Thunder a couple years ago. Like, they're just these signature moments that stick in my head that are synonymous with two words, got it. And I just, it's like a computer. Like, you hit the title of a file and then boom, all these different links show up. And it's all under the got it thing. These are all memories that I have. I click on the got it file and boom, all these different memories show up there. It just comes in automatically. So to be able to do that, have a long lasting impact on the fans and people like me who really admire moments like that, is nothing short of spectacular.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. You know, the got it, it's definitely, you know, you think of Mike Gorman when you hear that, yeah. Or when you think of Mike Gorman, first thing that comes to your mind is the got it.
100%.
And it's awesome. It's especially for us, you know, our generation, really any Celtics fan over the last 40 years, that's what you probably think of. And you've, yep, heard many, many times, over the last 40 years, my 28, your 24, 25, you youngin', but
yeah, look at me, so shuckin' young.
But yeah, no, Mike is he's a legend amongst all the other Celtics. And another thing that I found intriguing too, before Mike and Tommy even started broadcasting the Celtics together, I don't know if it was to see if it would work or what, but they actually called 5 PC games together. Tommy at that point was doing broadcasting, I think, outside of the Celtics as well, with, I'm not sure, ABC, NBC, CBC, one of those three acronyms, doing basketball coverage, and hooked up with Mike and called PC games, and they liked the flow of each other, and, you know, went on to be one of the best tandems ever.
I didn't know that. So there was some history going into the Celtics. There's a little chemistry there. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. And then another thing too, that I've Anytime it's on, I have to watch it. It's the 2008 Anything Is Possible that they put on, but they also have the, they usually play it like back to back, the Mike and Tommy or the Legend of Tommy Heinsohn, one of those shows.
Yep.
And Mike gets into, you know, the first couple games, calling games with Tommy, what it was like. And Mike would go in there with a notebook full of notes that he wanted to, you know, say throughout the game. And you got to think about it too. You know, when you're a color commentator, you have to talk.
Oh yeah.
You need things to
There's
say.
There's going to be a lot of dead air moments that you have to fill.
Right. Even in the downtime. And that's actually a funny story in this recent pod, just to segue somewhere else real quick, in this podcast with Forsberg, when he first got his radio job, he asked his father, "Hey, you have any advice?" Not that his father, you know, knew anything about sports radio, but he goes, "Yeah, never pass up the opportunity to not say anything." And Gorman laughed and he goes, "I can't do that. That's good if you're not on the radio, but I can't do that."
Yeah.
And it's funny, you know, to think about. So anyway, you know, so now he has this notebook full of, you know, notes that he wants to say because he doesn't want any down air, dead time. He met up with Tommy for their little pregame, how they, you know, talk before the game, what they're going to, you know, how they're going to go about it. And Tommy crumpled up all his notes and threw them off the rafters and said, we don't need this. We're going to feed off each other and be really honest about what we see. And we're going to call the game that way. And it worked out for the last nearly 40 years.
Yeah, and imagine how scary that must be as, like, somebody going into a job, like, you did all this preparation. Like, imagine Peyton Manning watches all this film, gets there, and then as he's at the line about to snap the first play of the game, completely gets rid of everything he prepared for, forgets everything he knew or, you know, studied for this team. That's a horrifying thought. But, hey, trial by fire, and it clearly worked out very well.
Worked out well for them.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing with being a commentator in a sense, is it's something you kind of have to feel out. Like, obviously, there's a huge difference between manning a football team, an offense, and doing color commentating. And you can just sit there in a booth and kind of feel the whole thing out. Like Tommy said, just, you know, act natural, tell everyone what's going on in the game, and watch the game intently. And it's, you know, it's an art, it's a skill, it's very, very difficult. I'm sure most people could not do that. They couldn't just look at a game and entertain people for a whole, you know, 60 minutes or however long a basketball game is. So honestly, that's a terrifying story. If I was ever in Mike Gorman's shoes, I would be shitting myself.
Absolutely. I couldn't imagine doing that myself either. You know, you go into something, you know, you think you're prepared, you have your notes, you're ready to go. And the guy, you know, your partner who, you know, you're still trying to figure out how this is going to work. And he throws your entire notebook off the rafters and says, we're just going to, you know, feed off each other and go with it.
You're like, oh, so,
yeah. But, you know, here's Tommy already, you know, like a Celtics legend and a basketball icon in his own. And I guess you can say the same with Mike Gorman in his own respective field.
Yeah.
But when you're calling a Celtics game, something Gorman hasn't done yet, or probably has done minimum with Tommy before this happened.
Yeah.
Tommy can do whatever he wants, and Celtics fans or the organization, the ownership, they don't care. They're like, oh, you know, he can do no wrong in Celtics fans' eyes. And that's a fact. There's been clear fouls on the court during games where, you know, the Celtics, you know, the player has been on the wrong. And a Celtics player can punch a referee in the face. It'll be the referee's fault. That's what it's like in Tommy's eyes.
Oh, of course.
So
very one pot to him.
Yeah, so they can't do any, he can't do no wrong. And then so Gorman knows that going in. And you know, this my partner Tommy throws my notes off the, you know, Gorman in his eyes, I can do wrong here. You know, so that was the difference between them. And I think that's why Gorman said, you know, I did what Tommy couldn't do. Tommy did what I couldn't do.
Yep.
Or didn't want to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's also how it worked. But it also goes back to what I said earlier about Mike's go with the flow personality. He can fit in with any crowd. He can communicate with anybody. And that's what makes the game entertaining. I'll listen to Mike commentate how paint dries on a wall.
Yeah. Honestly,
he'll get into it.
That leads me to ask, do you think they would have been as successful if they weren't working together? Like, obviously, they complemented the other because they had different styles of going about it. And, you know, one liked to do the thing the other didn't. So do you think, obviously, Mike Gorman's there now, alone, not alone, but without Tommy. We've seen him now for some time without him. Do you think that they both would have been successful without the other for all this time?
In the sense of broadcasting, I think Mike Gorman would have.
Yes.
I don't think Tommy could have done play by play.
Yeah.
Not that he couldn't. I don't think
no,
he
that wasn't his
would
style,
have been.
Though.
Yeah, I don't think he enjoyed doing that. That's not what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think Gorman no doubt would have been would have had a Hall of Fame career without Tommy, but I think Tommy hooking up with Tommy early on, landing with the Celtics.
It's kind of a match made in heaven type deal.
Exactly.
Set up.
And that's something that, you know, Mike says, you know, I owe my career to just being at the right time at the right, or the right place at the right time, you know?
Yeah.
Never applying for jobs. You know, he's a Dorchester guy.
Dorchester.
I don't want to say proudest moments, but he loves... he's a true Celtics fan. You know, he used to sneak into the garden to watch game, the old garden to watch the game.
Back when you could actually do that.
Yeah.
And you get tackled and arrested for terrorism.
And now he has, you know, his own parking spot and his own entrance when he goes there. So, yes. You know, started at the bottom and now he's at the top. It's just
funny how that works, huh? Jesus.
It truly is, you know. But, you know, throughout his career, you know, he started locally, New Bedford, Providence, and, you know, the next professional sport. Or the next professional team in that sport, I guess, is the Celtics. But, you know, like you said earlier, with the Big East tournament kicking off back then, you know, he had his his ESPN college Monday. You know, just based off of that, he could have gone anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he ended up, you know, staying local, went to, landed in Boston. And it's been a match made in heaven for the last 40 years.
Yep, and how lucky we are to have landed two absolute legends and masters of their craft to be the ones providing the voice for the team that we love through our whole life. And, you know, I get kind of, you know, a little emotional thinking about it, but, like, they really have treated us. It's been nothing but, like, a joy and a treat to be able to hear them. And I miss Tommy Heinsohn like all hell. And it's going to be brutal when Mike's eventually gone because we brought up, it seems like, his career as a timeable end, huh?
It does. And as all things do. But like, just to bring it back a quick bit to feed off what you said, as Celtics fans, not just us, because, you know, we're still pretty young. We're in our youth.
Oh, yeah.
And in prime, just as I like
off,
to think.
Baby.
But you know, like the Celtics fans before us, you know, our parents, stuff like that. Us as Celtics fans, generations and different eras of Celtics fans have been spoiled with great coverage of the team. Really, you know, starting with Johnny Most, you know, he probably really kicked it off. And then, you know, we end up with Mike and Tommy afterwards. And they, you know, propelled and set the standard for sport tandem or duo broadcasting. Yeah, exactly. And I think it's also important to mention, you know, Mike Gorman is receiving the Kurt Gowdy Award. You know, who's Kurt Gowdy, right? You know, why is there an award after him? And it's another thing about, you know, Boston sports. You know, Kurt Gowdy, you know, like you said earlier, the Kurt Gowdy Award is one of the highest honors that, you know, a media member can earn in their field. So Kurt Gowdy, he actually began his career calling Red Sox games, and he was the commentator for them for 15 years. And he really blew up and set the standard of sports broadcasting in the broadcasting world, really. And from there, he was selected to be calling national televised games early on when it was first kicking off in the 60s and 70s, and went on to be one of the really the best to do it, and or I don't want to say first, but one of the first, I guess he was a pioneer in the sport broadcasting world.
Yeah.
And it just so happens.
Do you know what year this is around? This is probably early in the sports broadcasting time, right?
Yeah. So when he first began calling the national televised games, that was in the 60s and 70s. So I imagine he started in the 50s, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Or the mid 40s, if mid-70s. That, you know. Because he was in calling Red Sox games for 15 years prior. So,
goddamn.
So, yeah, I just thought that was important. And it just so happens, you know, he started in Boston. So, not to age Mike Gorman, but he is in his mid-70s. So, he probably remembers Kerr Gowdy and calling games and stuff like that from back then. So,
definitely ages him a little bit, too, though.
Yeah. And, well, and that's another thing. So to bring it back to your original point in my long answer, he is in his mid-70s, like I said, and in this podcast with Forsberg, he says he does not want to be working, calling games in his 80s. So he said straight up, I have a couple more years doing this. I don't want to be working games when I'm in my mid-80s. I want to have the rest of my life. My wife has a lot of time on her hands, and she's taken up golf, and she's really good as a former athlete. So I want my life back, in a sense.
Wow.
And that's a direct quote from Mike.
Those are heavy words, Mike.
So then another thing. So Forsberg, this is a great interview, too. Yeah. You're not gonna hear raw honesty from Mike Gorman anywhere else besides this podcast with Forsberg. So I definitely suggest you listen to it. So Forsberg asked him, "What's Mike Gorman like off the court?" And Gorman actually stumbled and he was caught off guard with that question. And you can hear it in his voice. He wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
So he said, "Well, that's a good question. Wow, I don't know how to answer that."
Huh.
I live on a lake, and I like to get outside. I like to get in the water and get dirty. If anybody who lives on a lake or on water, you understand what I mean by that. I also like to play golf, and I walk 3 miles every morning to start my day. I also enjoy traveling. As much as I enjoy getting out of the country, there's places in the country that I like to see. And he is really intrigued by Montana. He wants to go and visit Montana and see that.
Oh, well. I'm just trying to figure out if that's a real place, first of all, before I go explore it. But yeah.
And he's a big guitar fan. He likes to play guitar. Uh-huh. He started 5 years ago. And he has guitars hanging on walls as decoration throughout his house.
So. Seems like a pretty well-versed dude. That's kind of cool. A little look into his life right there. 3 miles in the morning for somebody his age, too. Much.
Oh, yeah.
That one.
He says he walks 3 miles and enjoys a cup of coffee by 7:45 in the morning. So
hey, that's regiment right there. I like that. High and tight, baby.
Good yeah.
that's tight though, and that's like somebody. That's like a routine of somebody with so much success like this. That's something you expect, like to wake up this old in their career when they really have nothing left to prove. Like, he's going to get out there, he's going to get his exercise, he's going to enjoy his coffee in the morning and get ready for his day. Everything's on strict time periods, and he just kind of, he prepares, he knows what he's going to do, and it shows in his work. I'm not really particularly surprised at all, but I think it's cool to hear all that stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, he has a routine, you know, and I'm sure he's been on this routine for a really long time. Sure, he starts his day this way.
And, I would imagine so.
Looks at the Celtics schedule and gets down to starting his, you know, his prep, his notes, what he's going to talk about, what he wants to, you know, what he wants to hit, and especially now that it, maybe a little less now that he's well established and in his career, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, just to hear him talk about stuff like that and. You know, just how he goes about his day to day during the season. It's pretty intense. And so when you hear him say, you know, I want my life back, I think he, on top of just wanting to spend more time at home with the family, or and his wife, just being able to enjoy a game without having that analytical.
Yeah,
like, ooh, like, I think he just wants to be like a sports fan, not work in the field when you're watching the game, you know? And I totally get that, you know, in my short time trying to, I guess you could say, be Mike Gorman, trying to cover the Celtics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You don't just watch the game as a fan anymore. You're watching the game, kind of like getting into the analytics of it, like different rotations and this and that and different plays. And you're not just watching it as a fan anymore. And I think Mike misses that and, you know, he wants that back. So
that's a fantastic point right there. Cause you kind of have, it's like an onion. You peel back a layer and look at the game a little deeper than the normal person. They look at an onion and they just see an onion. And the people who really break down the game, they peel back the first layer. How many rings are in here? This is making me cry right now. Like you really dig a little deeper into it. So I totally understand where he's coming from there. And, hey, the man's absolutely earned everything. If he walked away, I'd be very upset, but again, he's earned anything he wants, he deserves. So I hope he eventually gets the happy ending that he so seeks.
Oh, I absolutely agree. He should be restaurants just serve him for free when he goes out into Boston.
He won't have to pay for a drink ever again.
Exactly. He should be considered on that level of Boston sports or just Boston celebrities, I guess, or professionals. He's on that level with, you know, the Paul Pierces, the really, you know, the Bill Russells, just the strong presence in the city. Mike Gorman should be considered on that level for sure.
Absolutely. And later today, Mike Gorman gets inducted into the Hall of Fame along with his favorite player, Paul Pierce, which has been a dream of his. Obviously, he loves Paul Pierce, and to be going into the highest honors with his favorite player, I'm sure it's something that he in his wildest dreams could have never ever imagined.
I don't think he ever imagined that. I don't think he ever imagined making it into this Hall of Fame. Maybe he did, but he is in the New England Hall of Fame for his efforts with Providence College URI. Into the New England Hall of Fame. I actually have another direct quote that he mentioned about that. So Forsberg asked him, what's it like going into the hall with Pierce and Russell? And he said, that's special. Paul Pierce, he's probably one of my favorite players of all time for the Celtics. I'm looking forward to hanging out with him. I haven't seen him in a while. I am a little nervous about my speech, but hopefully I'm able to get through it. They asked me to cut down my 35-minute speech into 4 minutes.
Holy shit.
And then Forsberg said, how are you supposed to sum up 40 years of greatness into 4 minutes? And he said, I don't know, but we're going to try. And I'm going to try not to cry.
That seems like an impossible task. And I'm probably going to cry, too.
I'm definitely going to record it, but I plan on watching it live. I like to record things like that. Like I mentioned, the Anything Is Possible and the Tommy Heinsohn shows that NBC Sports Boston puts out. I have those saved to my DVR. So this will be no different. It'll be there.
Of course.
But yeah, Mike Gorman, a class act, one of the best to do it, and now he's a Hall of Famer.
In his own right, much deserved. Is there anything else you want to talk about the man, the myth, the legend before we sign off here?
I don't think so. I'm just I'm truly honored to have been to, you know, as my time as a Celtics fan, Mike Gorman has always been there.
Of course.
So as sports fans, we want consistency, especially in the broadcast team, because, you know, as your typical sports fan, you're not able to go to every game. You know, even as season ticket holders, you know, you can't go to every game. It just, you know, with your work schedule and everyday life, sometimes, you know, it's not possible.
Yep, life gets
exactly. So for the most part, we're watching games on TV, and you want that consistent voice explain. And that's what Mike does. He explains in detail what's going on
really in the really by play by play, because you know he's the play by play commentator, but he can say so much in few words, and I know exactly what he's saying. I can visualize it in my head, and that's what you want from a play by play commentator, and that's what Mike has done and excelled at throughout his career. I put out a tweet on our Twitter account, the Raptors Podcast, where I was actually at yes, little bit of a shameless plug. I was at the Celtics game last year when they made it to the first round playoffs with the Nets, and before the game, they did a video tribute to Mike Gorman, and told the Garden that he was being inducted into the Hall of Fame, and I actually have that on video and what that was like. And it was raw to feel the atmosphere in the Garden that day, to see Mike's reaction to it all. Because I don't know if he knew, maybe he knew, it was really a great moment. And Mike, he's something special to Celtics fans. So to be there for that was really special. But if you take a look at that on our Twitter account, you'll be able to see what the Garden was like that night, and it just shows just how much the entire fan base, the Garden, the workers, the team, everybody, the front office, thinks of Mike and truly appreciates Mike. Now that I think about it, now that Tommy's gone, Mike is really, I guess you could say, like the longest tenured Celtic in the organization right now. He's been around for, he's been around for it all. So to have him, here still, it's, we're all spoiled. We're not worthy of this. So it's great that he's still here.
We're not worthy. No, you're absolutely right, though. I can't say it enough. He deserves everything he's getting, and I'm really happy to see it all. Hell of a dude. Hell of a career. Much congrats, Mike Gorman.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing we did mention last week. I will be going into KG's number retirement game, so I'm hoping. I think Gorman was the host for when Paul Pierce had his number retired, so I'm hoping to see Mike on the court again for, KG's number retirement.
Anything different, so
yeah, stepping out of the booth a little bit, getting onto the court again. So yeah, we'll see what happens. It'd be great to see him on the court again.
That'd be sweet. I'm gonna need a couple pictures when you're there for that one. That'd be sweet.
Absolutely. And one more thing before we leave. I'm not too sure how they can do it, but they did it for I can't think of his name. They did it for is it Lusky? And they did it for Red Auerbach. But Tommy's already has a retired number. But maybe they can put a patch up there in the banner in the rafters with maybe just something that says Mike or got it or something.
Got it would be awesome.
Just to honor him again forever, because he's truly a legend in my opinion. So hopefully something like that will happen.
That would be unbelievable. I think that's a wrap for episode 71 of the Raptors Podcast, brought to you by Couch Guy Sports. Everyone tune into the Hall of Fame enshrinement tonight to watch our boy Mike Gorman, Paul Pierce, and Big Bad Bill Russell getting in there as a coach. That'll wrap it up, and everybody later.
Later.